When man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone. The blood shed of animals could not forever sin atone. But the Son had compassion. He said, Father, I'll be your lamb. So once again, blood was shed as the soldiers nailed his hands. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave something is happening, as death screams, I've lost my hope. Angels rise in anticipation, for the Son is coming home. And there he comes, and he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary, and the Father said, well done, my son, this is the last blood I'll ever need. And there he comes, and he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary, and the Father said, well done, my son, this is the last blood I'll ever need.
This is the last blood I'll ever need.
Justice calls for a payment for sin. No one worthy could be found among me, but the precious Son of God, with the cross and thorny crown, paid the debt with the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Free from sin, free to live, now I am. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down. Paid in full by the blood.
Once you get saved, you don't get lost, man. You're not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to you, according to the Word of God. We're kept and protected by Him. But understand this, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy. You can prove that from the Word of God. David had fell into sin. That's sin with Bathsheba, Psalm 51. Man, what a blessing that is for him to write back. We see David's failure, but we also see David's recovery. And understand that the Bible said in Psalm 51 and verse number 12, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Who's able to give us joy? Who's able to restore us? I tell you, there's only one. A preacher can't do it. A singer can't do it. A church in itself cannot do it. Only the Lord can give you that full restoration that we so desperately need. But he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Make me lie down in green pasture. He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul." Now listen, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, or he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You know what that is? That's providential. Providentially, God guides us. Now this is where I was at this morning. If you were listening, I talked about the providential hand of God. God's not going to lead us into unrighteousness. You take somebody that says, "Well, God led me to do that, or the Spirit led me to do this." If it's contrary to the Word of God, God didn't lead you. Now, amen. That's all I know to say. Providentially, He's not going to lead us into a mud hole spiritually. He's going to lead us in the path of righteousness. Now, think about this. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse number 14, He said, "If a blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch." You ain't got to worry about the Lord leading us astray. He's always, Brother Matt, going to lead us in His righteousness and lead us toward righteousness. So understand, there's a providential side of the Lord. Why does it pay to stay close to God? Because it'll keep you out of the ditch. Why is it important to stay in the Word? Think about Psalm 119, the longest chapter in our Bible. All of that talks about the testimonies. It talks about the statutes. It talks about the Word of God. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his Word." Psalm 119, verse number 9, lets us know that. But we've got to understand, when it comes to the psalmist and all that he wrote about, yes, he's personal. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He comes back and says, "Man, there's plenty. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Positionally, He gives me rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Thank God for that peace. "He restoreth my soul." There's power. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." That's providential. But listen, there's a purpose behind Him, Brother Randy, leading us in the paths of righteousness. The purpose is for His name's sake. God's got a vested interest in me. God's got a vested interest in you. God's got a vested interest in the psalmist. The psalmist understood that God providentially would lead him in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now you think about the jerseys that you may wear, the Dallas Cowboys, the Tar Heels, the Blue Devils, the Wolfpack, the Demon Deacons. I mean, come on, man. I don't understand that. But anyhow, it is what it is. I done lost my train of thought. But listen, you may wear that stuff, and as you go out, you're identified by what you have on. You represent that. Well, hey, let's break that down even further. When you leave your home, we represent our family. If you work for a business, Brother Brandon, you got a Stokes Tire shirt on, you represent Stokes. Even if you go out to eat lunch, you represent Stokes Tire. If you work for the Mathises, wherever you go, you represent that company wherever you go, and you're a reflection of that. Well, listen, if you belong to a church, you got outside of these four walls, you represent this church. If you say, "I'm a child of God," guess what? You represent the Lord Jesus. Why in the world should I watch my steps? Why should I watch what I handle, taste, and touch, and what I do? Eyes are watching, your feet are following, and we got to be careful. But listen, He'll lead us. Our shepherd will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and He gets the glory. Matthew 5, verse number 16 said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." So that's what He does, and He does that for you and I. He's got a purpose behind that for His name's sake. But then He said, "Yea, though," verse number 4, it's where there's a lot of strength, that He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know what that has to do with? That has to do with prayer time and prayerfulness. Because if you're not walking through the valley of the shadow of death and things are going well in your life and in your heart, you might shy away from your prayer life. Amen. You might get away from the Word of God. But you let that trouble come. You let that trial come. You let that shadow of death come your way and a little fear sort of creeps in right there. It's going to be prayer time. And boy, He wants us to communicate with Him. Now again, I keep beating a broken record. I beat a dead horse sometimes. But you better get this. We learn by repetition. God will speak to us through His Word and through His Spirit. And they'll never be in contrary one to the other. They'll always be in agreement. They'll always be in harmony with the Spirit and the Word of God. But we talk to the Lord through prayer. We do. Matthew 7 still says, ask. This should be given you. Seek. You shall find. Knock, shall be open unto you. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to say. And then the Bible said in James 4 and verse 2, we have not because we ask not. But I always love that phrase, verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you know a shadow of a gun cannot shoot you? A shadow of a knife cannot cut you. And the shadow of death cannot harm the child of God. That gives us another peace. Why? Because He's a personal God. We've got plenty. I mean, He gives us rest, man. And He does all of that. He gives us peace, leading us beside the still waters. There's power. He can restore our soul if we lose it at some point. If we lose, can't lose your salvation, but the joy of your salvation, you can lose that, and make no mistake about it. Providentially, He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness, for there's a purpose for His name's sake. And then prayerfully, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, listen, I will fear no evil. Now that's philosophical. That's knowing. Philosophically. What do you mean? I will fear no evil. Best way I can put it to you, Brother Randy's like this. And we sing a song, and it's in that old red hymn book, and that's probably sitting right in front of you. But Paul told Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, where he says, what in the world did he say? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, unto me against that day. Thank God He said, I know. The psalmist said, I know. Philosophically, although I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's an assurance that God can give us. Boy, I hope you got that. How many people you talk to say, are you saved? Well, I hope so. Think so, maybe so. I'm glad you can know, man. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved by the grace of God. And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to be in prayer communication with God. But then thank God, philosophically, you can know, I will fear no evil. Why should we fear no evil? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now there's a protection that comes in to Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm 23, that protection that God gives unto you and I. Why should I not fear? Well, I can know. I've got full assurance in Him. He's with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. We got somebody there for protection. He's never lost as a shepherd. He's never lost a sheep. As an advocate and as a defense attorney, He's never lost a case. As a conqueror and as a warrior, He's never lost a battle. He's not going to start with you, Brother Brandon. He ain't going to start with me. He ain't going to start with you, Sister Debbie. Thank God He's got 100% record. He's never lost anything whatsoever. We can have that confidence in Him. That protection that we have is able to keep you from falling, according to the book of Jude. Well, you go on down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now listen, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Did you know that has to do with partiality? Did you know God was partial? You say, well, wait a minute. I thought the rain fell on the just and the unjust. That's exactly right. But you can't tell me that God the Father don't treat His own better. Amen. That's what He said. In the presence of mine enemies, He spreads that table. Listen, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of the King's kids. Amen. Our inheritance is with Him. He's going to look after His own. There's plenty. There's provision. There's power. There's all of that at our disposal. That's partiality. It sure is. Because He says there, He spreads that out in the presence of our enemy. But now listen to this. He said, Thou anointest. Now don't y'all fall out with me right here. He said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You think about that anointing in the Word of God, that has to do with the anointing of the Spirit. You know what that means right there? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's Pentecostal. We're staying on P's now. Now, what's Pentecostal? Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. That's when the permanent abiding presence fell in Acts chapter number 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In our day and our hour, too many people are afraid of the Holy Ghost. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit. You better not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You better not be afraid of the Holy Ghost. You better not be afraid of the Lord filling your wagon and your cup running over. I'm glad God can still do that. The Scripture still said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. God will enable us. He will equip us to do things that we were unable to do apart from the enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. I told you that Sunday night several years ago, somebody came in and sitting on the back row, first time I ever seen him, last time I ever seen him, and sitting on the back. I don't know what we was preaching on Sunday night. I have no idea. Brother Brandon, I went back there and I shook the guy's hand when he came in, and he was the first one to meet me at the back of the church when he was getting ready to leave. And he shook my hand, and he didn't say anything. He said, it's good to have you with us. He just sort of opened the door and looked out there toward the sign. And he looked back at me, and he said, I thought this was a Baptist church. I said, it is a Baptist church. He said, no, man, you're Pentecostal. That's what he said. I ain't seen him since. Amen. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit of God and God guiding us. He lives inside if you say by the good grace of God. But some folks get all tore up when you start talking about the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's biblical doctrine, man. And I'm glad he'll anoint us to the point of overflowing. And if you ever get a dose of the dose of the Ghost, I'll tell you, man, it'll turn your world upside down. Amen. Sure will. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Listen now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's a provision that God gives to us. Now, he gives us plenty, but he gives us provision. Surely, goodness and mercy. Remember the difference in grace? Grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he don't give us what we do deserve. That's provision that God gives to us. Now, oftentimes, we'll pull out Philippians 4, the verse I'm going to give you here in just a second, and you'll pull that out of context. Well, what Paul was talking about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Philippians chapter 4, he was saying to the church of Philippi, his most personal letter, and that whole theme of that was rejoice in the Lord. But he was pinning to them, when he was in Thessalonica, they sent once and again unto his need. In other words, they took up an offering, and they supported him financially as a missionary. And then right after that, in verse number 19, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's the provision that God will provide for his own. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen now, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The last thing I'll give you is that's perennial. You think about perennial, you think about plants this time of year, springtime. You get an annual plant, that's something you got to plant every year. You plant a perennial, it continually comes up. Well, that's the only word that I could think of. It started with a P. So I think about this, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everything we do in life is based on a clock. I used to wear a watch, I don't wear a watch anymore. But most of the time we got our cell phones, we got them on the vehicles, we got them on the microwaves, we got them on the stoves, we got on the TV. Everywhere you look, there's a time somewhere, ain't they? They got all kinds of gadgets now that you can see. Even some kind of thing with glasses. They say this on there. On your vehicle, even going down the road, there's some kind of digital screen right here in the windshield. They say you can see time. I ain't got one of them, but anyhow, somebody does. That's what they say. But everything is driven on a time scale, ain't it? I mean, you're going to go to bed tonight. You say, man, I got to be at home so I can go to sleep by 10 o'clock. I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to punch in at 7 o'clock at work. And, man, when 3 o'clock rolls around, I'm going home. And it might be 8 o'clock when you go into work. It might be 5 o'clock when you get off. But you got a time schedule that you go, all right, if you're a teacher, we got several teachers, the bell's going to ring at such and such a time. I got to be in my place. Well, thank God that bell's going to ring at the end of the day. And I know them little monsters are going to be gone. And maybe you don't have monsters, but anyhow, I'm just saying. Everything is driven on a time scale. We come to church on Sunday morning. We got Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Maybe we're going to start there at 10. We're going to get out, maybe 10:40, depends on what time, but 10:45 probably at the latest. Then we're going to the prayer room, 10:45 and then we're going to come out here. We're going to have service at 11 o'clock. And the preacher don't get too wound up and his cup don't run over. We'll get out of here maybe by 12:10 or 12:15, maybe 12 o'clock. If we're lucky, we're setting our clock on, and even tonight. We come here 6 o'clock, prayer room 10:45, and we're going to get out of here, man. Hopefully we'll be out of here close to 7 o'clock. It's getting close to 7. I'm watching it right now. But you know what? Time, everything's driven on time. Our little finite minds can't comprehend and understand that God don't look at time like we do. We can't even imagine forever. Forever. Where there is no time. No time at all. You can't set your clock and say, well, in 2089, it'll be over. No. Eternity. Why do we make much of Jesus? Because there's one of two positions people are in. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And eternally, you're going to live somewhere forever. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. It's just that simple. That place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if you know Christ, thank God, you'll go to heaven one day. But if you don't know Christ, hell will be your home. And you can't put a time and say, well, man, I'm tormented in this flame. I'll get out in 21 days or 21 weeks. No, it's eternal. That hell will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. And that's the second death, according to Revelation chapter number 20, throughout all eternity. Being in a place like that. Now, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We'll be worshiping around the throne of God throughout all eternity. I can't even imagine that. My mind can't even comprehend that, Brother Brandon. But it's true. That's the Word of God. And eternally, there's the surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we've had a lot of issues within our church family. I'm talking about physically, and we've had death. We've had a lot of problems. Seemed like the last little bit, a lot of physical ailments. We've had cancer. We've had all kinds of things pop up. Diabetes, strokes, heart attack, all kinds. And as long as we live, these bodies are going to break down. But you know what? That sort of makes me think, Brother Brandon, that song we sing, what a day that'll be. You ain't going to need that cane up there, Brother Lynn. Ain't going to need that cane. Ain't going to need that walker. Ain't going to need that wheelchair. Ain't going to need that hearing aid, man. Brother Leroy ain't going to have to worry about that other cataract. Amen. All the problems that these bodies wear out. But see, parentally, we'll be with him forever. All because of verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? If you can't, hey, tonight's a good night to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. So if you are saved, rest in the assurance. Man, find that peaceful spot. He's not going to lead you in a path of unrighteousness. He's going to lead you in a path of righteousness. He'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll give you that peace. He'll make you lay down in the green pastures. Man, positionally, he'll give you that rest. Is there some uneasiness in your heart? Is there some anxiety? Is there some worry? Man, there's things I can't help you with. I'm glad our God can give you plenty. He can provide for you every need, but you got to come to him. And the Bible said he will in no wise cast you out if you come to him. As we stand in all over the house, Sister Savannah's coming. As she begins to play, let's all stand and bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, now I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the good word of God. Lord, I thank you for Psalm 23. I pray, Lord, the word has fell on good, fertile soil. If there's one here tonight, never been saved, never been born again, God, help them see the magnitude of the decision tonight to trust Christ or reject Christ. Lord, help them to see eternity in the horizon. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And I pray for the child of God that may be struggling with some worry, with some anxiety, maybe with some problems. God, I pray that they'd find some strength, Lord, through Psalm 23. Lord, what an amazing chapter. What an amazing book this is. And I pray, God, you give us strength from another world. And we'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Even heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service,
And every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.